The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, now we're going to Sweden, and an Irish journalist based in Sweden is Philip O'Connor. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Although it's already afternoon in Sweden. Now, we wanted to talk about this extraordinary controversy that has erupted over whether or not Swedish people are mean in their hospitality attitudes or whether it's just tradition. Explain.
Okay, so if you've been following the hashtag SwedenGate on social media, you'll know that one of the best-selling books ever to come out of Sweden was a Stieg Larsson book called The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. And a particular tweet that came from a thread on Reddit is after turning over a real hornet's nest to do with Swedes and if they're among the meanest people in the world or just the most pragmatic. So the story was, Pat, that on Reddit somebody had asked, what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened in somebody's home due to their culture or religion? And a person I'm not sure if they lived in Sweden, but they said they went to a Swedish friend's house to play with their friend. And while they were playing with their friend, the friend went downstairs to eat dinner and they had to wait in the room. So the child was forced to wait in the room while the friend went downstairs and eat dinner. And then another person chimed in and said that they had a sleepover party with a Swedish friend and that the friend went down to eat breakfast in the morning, leaving them up there in the room. And you would think that that's a kind of an innocuous thing, a slightly funny thing, a sort of a quirky thing. But the whole thing just took off completely over the last few days and exploded on social media.
Now, there are two camps. One is kind of saying these people, these parents who deprived the visiting child of a meal, were doing the right thing because mummy and daddy at home, or mummy and mummy at home, or daddy and daddy at home, whatever it might be, has prepared an evening meal for Junior. And we don't want to, you know, spoil that surprise or that dietary requirement in the visiting child by filling them full of grub. And the others are saying they're just too miserable to feed them.
Yeah, it's one of those strange things, Pat. When you take anything out of context or when you talk about things like this without explaining them first, it can be very difficult to understand and it can look very weird and very mean. Now, my long-suffering wife is Swedish and she would have said that this would have happened to her as a child and that she never would have even questioned it. So she would have grown up in that environment and nobody would have ever thought that their friend or the friend's parents was mean. So there's been a lot of experts climbing on the barricades to defend Swedes and their integrity over the last few weeks. And there's been many explanations for it. One is the thing that you have to remember that this country wasn't always as prosperous as it is now. Pretty much until the Second World War, Sweden and Norway were countries in the same sort of poverty that maybe Ireland found itself in. Indeed, in the middle of the 19th century, a lot of Swedes would have gone to America and you'll still find them in the Midwest. Food security was a thing. So if you're living in a country where there's winter 6 months of the year, the ground is frozen, the lakes are frozen, most of what you eat would have been salted or cured or preserved in some way. So people weren't in a hurry to sort of, you know, to share everything that they had at their table. That's not to say that they're mean about it. But, and then there's the other thing as well, that in the sort of the high-paced modern life, I might have decided, okay, this evening we're having our Swedish meatballs for dinner. And if my child comes home and says, oh, I'm sorry, Dad, I've already eaten, well, then I've gone to a trouble and expense that maybe wasn't necessary. Mm. But the flip side of that then, Pat, is that we're living in a multicultural world. And Sweden is a very multicultural society. Some estimates would say that around about a quarter of the people living here have their roots outside of the Nordic region. And that's where the culture clash happens, that people from maybe the rest of Europe or from the Middle East or from South America couldn't understand how you can invite a child into their home and not feed them or not invite them to eat at least.
Because when they've done surveys, they've looked at the Nordics and they generally might have this kind of attitude. You know, it's a parent's job to feed their own children and maybe they have, as I say, dietary restrictions and dietary plans, whereas if you go to Greece or Italy, you won't be able to avoid being fed.
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, the way I sort of described it yesterday was, you know, the auntie Mrs. Doyle, if you remember the character from Father Ted, who insisted on everybody who came to the house drinking tea. And here it's kind of the other way around. But that's not to say that Swedes are inhospitable, Pat. If they do invite you into their homes, you can expect what they call fika. Fika is basically coffee and cakes or coffee and something sweet. And they'll really push the boat out on that. But it's very much to do with managing the expectations of what the guest has. So if somebody says to me, come over to my house for dinner, they'll nearly tell you what you're getting before you go there. And even, you know, there was an Irishman, I was in his house last night to chat with him from County Monaghan, and he was checking with me if I was lactose intolerant when he was getting the milk in for the tea, and he's been here for a decade. So all of these things, we sort of get them. But there's another thing as well, a sort of a deeper thing to it, Pat, and it goes back to, you know, not just the history of not being a wealthy nation, but it's this idea that nobody wants to be in debt to anybody else, either through themselves or through their children. And the former Prime Minister, Göran Persson here, Sweden had its own financial crisis at the start of the 90s. And when Persson wrote a book about that and how he dealt with that as Prime Minister, the book was called He Who Is in Debt Is Not Free. And that debt could be the national debt of Sweden, but it also could be the fact that, you know, if you and I sit down for dinner, we don't just split the bill. You pay for what you've had and I pay for what I've had.
What do you mean to say, like, if there's six of us out to dinner and we're splitting the bill, we just divide it six ways. That's the way the Irish do it. In Sweden, they'd be saying, well, you had two glasses of wine and you had none, and you had the steak, but you only had veg. That kind of thing. They'd calculate, would they?
To the last cent, Pat. It's the most annoying thing about eating out with Swedes at all, because they don't want to be in debt to it. And indeed, in the sort of, you know, the apps that would be the equivalent of like Revolut or the banking apps that you have here, there's actually functions for splitting the bill. You know, so you can sort of send somebody the money. If I pay the bill on my credit card, for instance, Pat Kenny can send me only for his starter and his main course and his glass of wine or whatever it happened to be, down to the very last cent. And as Irish people, it's one of those things that's most difficult to fit in around. Now, it can also be very expensive if we go to a bar, because a pint here is not cheap, you know, and I wouldn't mind buying you a beer if I was to see you here as you were maybe for the Eurovision many years ago. But it's almost, you know, exaggerated, because nobody wants to be sort of, you know, obligated to anybody else in any way financially.
Mm-hmm. Now, finally, this gets complicated, as you mentioned, with a quarter of the Swedish population have some sort of external roots. And there are people, perhaps more recent immigrants, who feel that they're being persecuted in some way. But perhaps most of them are just misunderstanding a culture that they have not been born into.
Yeah, but I think that goes both ways, Pat, because when you have kids from different areas, I live in a very mixed area. It's where the Ericsson headquarters are located, and there'd be many Irish people who'd be working there every day. And it's about, you know, 50-50. There'd be a lot of immigrants like ourselves there, and people from Iran and from Turkey and from Africa and South America, and there'd be a lot of Swedes working there as well. So when our kids mix and get together, it's not just, you know, it's not like when in Rome, you know, because they come from a background, my kids will come from a background where everybody's welcome to eat at our table, or everybody's welcome to the cup of coffee, or if the kettle is put on. Whereas, you know, other kids might come in and they might go, okay, I don't want to be sort of, you know, creating an obligation here. So it's a two-way thing. And one of the unfortunate things always with these discussions, one of the knee-jerks that come up is like, you know, nobody's keeping you here. If you don't like it, go back to Ireland, kind of thing. So I do think that it's incumbent on us to in Swedish they call it anpassa, that we sort of, you know, adjust our behavior to Sweden, but also that we get people to understand that, look, just because I buy you a drink or a cup of tea, or just because we split the bill six ways, you're not obligated to me. I'm not going to knock at your door in the middle of the night looking for that fiver back, and that, you know, we can find some way to socialise both when we're out and at home in a way that everybody feels comfortable.
Mm. Just a couple of texts coming in. I once went to a wedding in Sweden 30 years ago. The night before the wedding, we went out for drinks. Being Irish, we bought round after round. Did we get an offer of a drink? No, nothing. They were very nice but stingy. So says Derek. Another one. A friend went to a dinner party in Stockholm, and there was a basket on the hall table with money in it. He was told it was normal to put a contribution towards the dinner party. He was gobsmacked.
Yeah, those two things. I have been in the same situation as Derek, and you know, it happened that I got one round in and then two rounds in, and then I was kind of thinking, okay, this round system really isn't working to my advantage here. So that was something that was new, and you'll see Swedes in Dublin or in London in that situation. And in a similar way, among certain types of people, right, so people who would be maybe students or people in their first job, there might be a sort of a tacit agreement that, look, everybody throws in 100 crowns, which is about 10 euros, and put that towards the food. So in certain social situations, that would happen. Or you would be told, okay, this is what we're providing now, but bring your own alcohol. Alcohol, of course, is a big thing, a very expensive thing here. So yeah, there are these sort of cultural differences. And as an Irish person being invited somewhere, I think it's always very good, like my friend did last night in the lactose intolerance, always check beforehand, and you'll avoid embarrassing yourself, but also avoid embarrassing your host.
Philip O'Connor, Irish journalist based in Sweden. Philip, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.